today, I guess we're talking about goons, right?
Yeah, we're going to discuss goons.
I mean, that's a pretty... I don't think I've ever really had a... sat down and really had a discussion in my entire life. Just to be like, hey, let's talk goons, guys. Goons. So this this might be a discussion that's sorely needed in the fucking zeitgeist, you know? Because
I think it is, honestly.
Goons are a fucking integral part of fucking so many stories and stuff, you know? Without the goons, a lot of the fucking dirty work doesn't get done, you know?
Right. Goons make the world go round, if we're honest. I mean, they're super important. So the recent episode that we did on scammers and the coronavirus, which as of the filming of this, released last night.
Oh, yeah.
I came up with this idea called the goon with a tire iron. And this happens to me sometimes. I made that joke several times in that show.
Yeah.
About sending a big goon with a tire iron to beat up stupid, you know, people that sell scam coronavirus cures. But that joke stuck in my mind. Like for the next 3 days, I was just like, goon with a tire iron. And it made me really like, I finally was just like, okay, let's think about this. Like, what is this about? And it was because I was so interested in the life and times and doings of the goon. And I think this episode will show you why, if you're not already interested in such topics.
I didn't know I was, but I think I am.
I think everybody will be, you know, anybody that I want to know will be interested. So almost certainly for as long as there have been human beings, there have been goons. In fact, goons likely predate modern Homo sapiens, I would say.
Whoa.
In fact, I think there were Neanderthal goons. I think that it's safe to say. They're close enough to us.
And that's definitely, you know, that's definitely your prototypical goon. I mean, you could even kind of say that all of these Neanderthals were fucking goons, right?
That makes sense, dude. Ugg sense thug.
Now, I'll be honest with you. What little bit I know about Neanderthals kind of goes contrary to what they looked like.
Really?
Neanderthals were not like as brutish as people think that they were, but they still went to war. They still had to battle other tribes and shit, which means they needed goons.
Yeah, you can't have a war without goons.
And as we'll learn tonight, chimps and other great apes have goons. So goons are everywhere. They're all around us. They form an integral part of the complex weave that makes human society possible. I said it.
It's beautiful.
I said it. And who would dispute it?
I can't.
Yet, for all the good that they do in the world, for all the influence that they exert, they are worse than maligned. Now, don't get me wrong. Goons are met with disdain from almost every direction, but even more cruel, and I think even more unfair, is the fact that goons are simply ignored. In our history books, our day-to-day interactions, our culture ignores the goon.
Yeah, until it needs to get some shit done.
That's right. So tonight we're going to invite the goon out of the shadows for the duration of the show. We're going to bring him to the margins of society. That's what we're here to do.
So beautiful. Whoa. It's Sloth from the Goonies. That's probably right. Why you have this fucking obsession with goons.
So I don't even really know if Sloth is a goon. I started to think about it and I was kind of like, he really is. He's kind of like Chunk's goon. You know when Cap'n Chunk shows up?
Yeah.
And he sends Super Sloth down there to beat everybody up? And then he kind of holds the door open for them? He's the goon in the Goonies. But I thought about this. I think we need to agree on terms. Because goon is a complex word when you really think about it. Everybody kind of has a different idea of what a goon is. And I made some pretty broad assumptions when researching for this episode. But I want to walk you guys through it and have a conversation just about the meaning of the word. Like, what is a goon? So we got old Merriam-Webster up here.
So here's the dictionary, which, you know, usually it offers a starting point for a definition, I feel like. But usually a dictionary cannot capture the true definition of a fucking...
We're going to dig deeper for sure.
So goon number one is a stupid person.
All right, so TJ is a goon. Gotcha.
Number two, a man hired to terrorize or eliminate opponents. See, that seems sexist right there. Because I think there could be female goons, right?
Of course.
If you got a female, if there's a big strong bitch that can fucking handle the tire iron, you know.
Right. There are female goons, as we'll see.
Look at modern movies, dude. There's plenty of female goons.
Oh yeah.
Right.
We'll look at some tonight.
Enforcer sense to be. So, you know, that's like someone who goes around and fucking makes sure the will of whoever, because goons are always, I think one thing that we can agree on with goons is they're always subservient, right? Like goons are not usually
until
like,
they're not. I mean, there's often a story arc where a goon rises up and becomes the boss,
right? But
or subverts the boss or ends up going against the boss.
But at that point, are they still a goon?
Well, they were a goon.
They were
right. So they came from goon stock.
I mean, think about almost every mafia movie. It's like, you know, a goon takes out the boss, then he becomes the boss, right? But he was a goon before. I mean, he's taking orders from the boss. He has to do whatever he's told. So
there's a lot of scheming, that, as we'll learn tonight, that goes on with goons. That's why I kind of reject the premise that they're always subservient. Sometimes goons are in it for themselves. You know what I mean? Like, they see that sucking up as a path to possible power. But they're still goons because they're still the gopher for the mafia boss or the crime lord right. or the police chief.
But what I'm saying is like once they get that power, if they get that power, are they still a goon at that point or do they just rise up from being a goon?
Yeah, they're no longer like once they well, I mean it just depends though, because are they an underboss?
That's true. I mean,
because an underboss that has control over a family is still a goon to the big five families, you know?
Right.
I mean?
True.
Well, if you look at this, too, I mean, I looked up a definition. It says a bully or a thug, especially one hired to terrorize or do it with opposition. So if you're talking about a bully or a thug, if you take it that part of the definition, I mean, you could potentially be a boss and a goon at the same time, depending on how you deal with people, it seems.
Sure. I'm open to that idea that because like I said, I think that goon is way more fucking complex than people give it credit for. I think people like a lot of people just picture some big dumb guy like the joke I made, the goon with the tire iron, who's just big dumb idiot, you know, that could beat everybody up. But goons are, you know what I mean? They're a lot more complex than that. And I also want you to note that the number one definition here has a negative connotation to it.
Right. It says you're stupid.
Right. So it's just like, you know, that's society saying we don't like goons.
Yeah. You're just a big stupid goon.
Interestingly enough, looking around, I think that Urban Dictionary, and I find that this is often the case.
Yeah. Urban Dictionary is definitely a better dictionary than the traditional dictionaries.
I've been telling you guys that for years.
They definitely gave the most respect to the goon in their definition.
Well, let's take a look at these. So number one is a generally low ranking member of a gang or syndicate. So they're kind of defining it not just as like not being on top, but it's just you're low level. If you're a goon, you're considered like low level in whatever organization.
Right.
You know, you're the low level muscle guy that's like, you know, go bust this guy's fucking head in, go fucking, you know, steal this, go do that. You get all the fucking, like, you know, grunt work for, you know, a criminal enterprise, basically.
Right.
Like a criminal enterprise gopher, dude.
Typically the recipients of street-level work. These are generally the most disposable members of the organization, built to take the fall in order to protect the higher-ups in case the illegal activities go awry that have attracted police attention. So basically, you know, you're disposable, you're a tool. You know, you have the possibility of moving up the organization, but, you know, for now, you're just you're out there fucking, you know, stealing shit, killing people that need to be killed, breaking fucking, you know, bones that need to be broken and so on and so forth.
You know what, though? I think that brings to the point of there are specialized goons, too.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, I don't want to get we're going to
talk about the length and breadth of this word. We got because I think we're just now focusing on the definition of goon, but we're going to talk about all of the other synonyms of goon, or at least words that share, you know, space with the goon world. Okay. Because, yeah, Scotty's right there. They're not just low skill people. They're high level goons. You can higher.
Sure.
You
know so, I mean? Like, here's the second definition. One who participates in vandalism, loitering, public displays of ignorance, outward obnoxiousness, and other non-socially acceptable practices justified by a directionless but nonetheless strong pack mentality and conformity with other similar with other similarly outlandish behaving individuals.
Sounds like a mob.
Well, this is from the African American community. So this is a word that's used in the African American community to describe a particular type of dude that, you know, is just kind of hanging around getting into trouble and shit. They're like troublemakers.
So that it's almost like, you know,
they're loud, they're obnoxious, they vandalize shit.
They almost use it as like a synonym for miscreant, kind of sounds like. So three, an individual of substandard wit or mental competency, commonly identified by a less than reputable character, bad personality, and or poor taste in personal style. Wow.
So kind of a it's a broader definition. But I don't think it gets to the heart of, I don't think it covers all the bases. None of the definitions that I found after really thinking about this, do I think cover all the bases. We've talked about enough historical goons. Let's talk about the goons that really matter. Yeah. The goons in movies.
Movie goons.
Rather than try and give some kind of broad look at every goon that's ever appeared in any movie, I decided to narrow it down to the work of just one director. Quentin Tarantino has made a lot of movies that I think it's hard to argue against the fact are absolutely centered on goons.
Yeah, he's got a real love of the goon.
It tells me that he shares a curiosity about these characters that I think we've reflected in our show tonight. You know what I mean? There are people out there that want to know what's up with the goons. And Tarantino is a director that has devoted a good portion.
Yeah, he'd be like, I'll tell you.
Yeah, he's like, here's what the goons are up to. So the first movie we're going to talk about, and I skipped a few. Now, this is discussion shit. So if you guys have a movie that you think I left off this list that you think has a great goon representation in it, you know, let me know. So the next movie on the list is Pulp Fiction. Another movie that is remarkably goon-centric.
And this is the lead character, Mira Max.
Yeah, good old Mira Max. You remember him?
It's Jules, right?
Yep. So, Jules, what kind of goon is Jules?
That's a tough one. I mean, he's definitely cool as shit, so he's like a cool goon.
He's almost like the enforcer goon, but then has the change of heart, where he then becomes the benevolent goon.
Yeah, he becomes He becomes introspective.
Is he a reluctant goon by this point?
I mean, at this point in the at the point of the movie you're seeing here, yeah. Like, he's not only a reluctant goon, but I think he's made a fucking decision to put his goon shit behind him, or at least to fight for something, you know, more noble in his own eye than what he's currently been doing.
Right. So, kind of an interesting aspect of this. We often assume that these guys are just happy to go out and commit these acts of violence for money.
I mean, it kind of seemed like up until he had that strange sort of, for him, spiritual moment where, you know, a series of bullets that he felt should have hit him did not. You know, and he felt like the divine, you know, some divine entity, probably God, you know, had interceded on his behalf and spared him. And he's like, you know, I wasn't spared so I could keep doing this shit.
Well, even when he does that Bible passage, he's like, oh, that was just to scare the shit out of people. But then he starts thinking like, hey, maybe there's something more to that. You know, like maybe me saying that there was a reason for me to say that.
Right. So, I mean, like he starts to get really introspective and fucking rethink his life and, you know. I always thought it would have been cool to make some kind of sequel where we see what he got up to, what kind of like, because, you know, it kind of implies that he's going to go on this like quest where he goes and like fights for the you know, the poor and the disenfranchised and the people who have no one to fight for them and stuff. It would have been like a cool TV show, honestly.
Yeah. But, that's Jules, the reluctant goon with a heart of gold, I guess.
Yeah. The goon with a golden heart, at least. And then there's Vince, who's does not have a heart of gold.
No. So Vince, I think, you know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's the type of goon that's in it for the easy money and the drugs and shit.
Yeah, I mean, like we see that he has like some pretty serious drug issues. He does a lot of heroin. He's not like a totally irredeemable character, but he's not really a good guy by any stretch of the imagination.
No, he's a total materialist. He has this car that he fucking, you know, loves. He's totally into just drugs. He's happy to take a shitty assignment that, you know, hey, take my fucking, take the boss's wife out.
Yeah. And he's kind of impertinent, but he's very conversational. He's sociable. He's friendly, you know, when he needs to be. But he'd pretty much kill you as soon as look at you. So
here's the question that lingers in my mind about Vince. If let's assume a different timeline and Mia Wallace doesn't overdose on the crazy heroin shit.
Right.
Or whatever it is. It's cocaine or whatever. I can't remember what it is. She ends up accidentally snorting.
She snorts heroin thinking it's coke.
Right. Got it. Yeah, that's it. And let's say she doesn't. Does Vince fuck Mia Wallace that night or no?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because that's the big struggle leading up to her death. You know what I mean? Is he's in the bathroom mirror saying, you're not gonna fucking do anything. You're gonna walk out, say have a good night. You're gonna excuse yourself. You're gonna go home. You're gonna jerk off. You know what I mean?
He's an impulsive character. I think he does it just because of like. I mean, when you're trying to talk yourself out of something, I think if you feel there's any sort of chemistry, he'll just go, you know what, it's dumb, but like he's someone I think lives more in the moment. I mean, right. And you can see that based on his decisions up until that point. Like, I don't think he's thinking of the long term. Maybe he's thinking about it in the bathroom because he's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to do it. That's the kind of thing a guy says, then goes and does something stupid. You know what I mean?
I think you could extrapolate the question even further. You know, like if she didn't overdose, does he survive? Because, you know, let's say she doesn't overdose, he fucks her. He gets scared. He skips town. He doesn't get gunned down by Bruce Willis's character. You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe if he had fucked her and she hadn't overdosed, you know, his character would have survived the fucking the film. So
that's true. That's a good point.
You never know. But yeah, that's interesting. But, you know, as far as like, you know, him as a goon, I mean, I don't really get the sense, you know, you do kind of get more of like a very kind of self-interested, like, yeah, I mean, I do this because I want to fucking have a certain level of lifestyle that a guy like me probably couldn't get any other way.
Well, think about too, when he does get killed, he's not even really taking it seriously. You know, like he leaves his gun on the counter. He just takes a shit, like whatever, you know,
he ain't coming back to his fucking house. I mean,
he's inhibited by his drug use and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's pretty obvious to me throughout the movie is that like his constant need to be high makes him an unreliable goon, you know, because he's pretty bad. If you think about it, he's a bad goon.
Oh yeah,
like he's tasked with keeping Mia Wallace safe and taking her out and just showing her a good time so she's not bored, and she almost dies in his custody, and then he's caught literally with his pants down by the dude that he's supposed to, you know, be taken out because he decides to leave his machine gun on the counter while he takes a shit. You know what I mean? He's an unreliable goon. He's not really great. He's not a great goon. I mean, he does some shit in this movie that, you know, he accidentally blows a dude's head off too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's not supposed to. Martin?
What the fuck?
That is true, dude. Now he gets the catalyst for a lot of dumb shit happening.
Pretty much every assignment he's given, he fails at. I mean, if you think about it. Like, he's like, hey, watch my wife for a night. She overdoses. And even if she didn't overdose, he probably would have fucked her.
So, I know he was backstory, but we know he was in Amsterdam representing the business there. I mean, what was he doing there? Probably just getting fucking high all the time. So, you know, he was probably a fuck up there, too.
So, I mean, like, pretty much everything he did, like, they sent him to go kill some dudes. He fucking kills the one dude he's not supposed to kill. You know, you've sent him to fucking guard Bruce Willis' character's house. He fucking gets shot. I mean, like, he pretty much fails at every single thing in the movie, yet still manages to come across as a cool character. So,
yep.
He's a good dancer.
Yeah. He's pretty much the best. He's pretty much the most, I guess the way he's written, he kind of has this way where you don't really think of him as a loser. But when you actually look at his track record in the movie, yeah, he pretty much fucking sucks at everything.
So, Bruce Willis's character,
Butch.
Is kind of a he's a goon. He's clearly a goon. He's willing to, you know, take a dive. He's got dealings with Marcellus Wallace and his crew.
But his pride interferes.
But his pride interferes. Right. So we get to most of the time we spend with Bruce Willis is he's the betrayer goon. He's the goon that's like, fuck you. I'm just taking the money and running. I'm just leaving. I'm going to rob you. you know, which is something I think, you know, if you're hiring goons, this is something you have to look out for. I mean, I think it's something you have to look out for no matter what, because there's always going to be those types of people. But especially in the goon world, where you've got these people that you're trusting with access to a lot of information and a lot of money, you know, you gotta take into account that there's going to be some goon that's, you know, every once in a while that's going to go, fuck, I got 300 grand sitting here. I'm just going to leave. Bye.
Oh, yeah. The rigged fight is one of the oldest fucking tricks in the book. Like, okay, who knows the outcome? We'll fix the outcome. You know, and obviously when you bet like that, a lot of people bet on like margins. So they'll say, hey, we're about $1 million. This guy's going to win. And at this time, and then suddenly, you know, you're out and you have to pay all that money and this guy's skipping town. So, oh, Mr. Wolf.
Yeah. So Mr. Wolf is a goon, but I think he's an example of one of these like very specialized goons. I imagine Mr. Wolf is probably the best paid goon in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree?
I mean, he's definitely
a car he's driving.
He's the most competent right. For sure.
I mean, they definitely flaunt his wealth and power in import. So this is not a street level goon.
No,
this guy is like a fixer, which is a type of goon that we haven't really talked about tonight. I guess we did. Like the mercenary is kind of a fixer. There's different, you know, you can have cyber infiltration mercenaries. You know what I mean? So there's all kinds of different aspects of, and this guy is just like a fixer. He's like a cleaner. When something goes ape shit and a big crime scene has been committed or some fucking thing needs to be taken care of immediately, you know, you can't rely on the street level guys. This is the guy you send in to unfuck the situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is the kind of guy where it's like his specialty and his technique are such that it's like, you know, I hesitate to. I mean, I still kind of see where it comes from, where like he is a goon. He's like a specialized sort of higher tier goon. But at the same time, like, I feel like he's at a level where you wouldn't even necessarily, that wouldn't be the first word you'd come out with, you know?
Right. I mean, this is probably the guy that's going to kill Jules. That's probably why there's no Jules movie. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Because yeah. Jules is, you know, deciding he's going on this new path and shit. That's not going to sit well. And he's probably going to get a visit from this guy. You know what I mean? And that's it.
Yeah. And then his life is.
One of my low-level enforcers, Jules, has decided to turn over a new leaf.
But I really like this goon portrayal here, too, because it shows you that you don't have to be like, he's not physically intimidating on the face of him. You know what I mean? He's Harvey Keitel.
Right.
So it's not like he's, but you can see the amount of respect these other two guys, which in comparison to him, they're big ass goons. You know what I mean? They don't fuck with him at all. Like protocol is followed exactly. We're never told exactly why, but everybody that he works with in the film knows who he is and gives him a wide berth. So just by reputation alone, this guy kind of exerts influence in the goon hierarchy, you know? And you got to imagine that there's some kind of mirror of that in the real world.
I mean, and you look and to the movie, there's a willingness to walk away. He's like, he basically tells him, like, look, you do what I say, or I'm going to, good luck, solve it yourself. I don't give a shit.
Right.
I mean, that goes beyond the standard. You know, if he was just a goon in the purest sense, like, he, I mean, I guess you could say he just walk. Like, yeah. I mean,
but there's also a lot of, like, you know, you can look at the subtext of that. That probably, you know, if you fuck off and get caught with a body connected to Marcellus Wallace, if that's how you guys want to solve this, then fine. You know what I mean? Like, we know the implication hanging over that is heavy. It's just like, yeah, you either listen to me or you're dead.
Yeah, essentially, yes.
So
next,
and then yeah, we've got a Marcellus himself, who is not a goon in this movie. At least he's not portrayed as one. Now, we don't know the crime syndicate structure that he's part of. Maybe he's subservient to some other guy, but once again,
as far as we can see, he's the tippy top of the fucking iceberg. But
in the world of the movie, he's the boss of bosses. You know what I mean? Surrender. But he's put in a very ignoble situation, and he actually talks a little bit about getting some goons at the end. Do you remember? I'm going to get a couple hard pipe laying, you know. He once he escapes from the rednecks who rape him, which if you haven't seen the movie, if that's not the best selling point that you've ever heard.
Yeah, it's fucked up. At the end of this movie, oh man, yeah.
But he definitely talks about how the, you know, we get a little insight in how the boss looks at various levels of goons. And he basically gets one up on these rednecks and gets them in a position of being captured. And he threatens them with goons. He's going to bring in some dudes that will do anything. I think that the popular perception of goons as just big, dumb meatheads is wrong.
Oh, 100%.
There's all different. I like, and people might disagree with me on this, but I think there's a really broad group of people that do a lot of different kind of jobs.
They do the
legal and illegal.
They do the jobs. I mean, look, whether you agree with it or not, I mean, a lot of the jobs done by goons are jobs that need doing, you know, at least from some perspective or another.
Look, I think in the most shallow sense of it, yeah, that's what a goon is. What people understand a goon to be, but that's just one facet of goons. Like, they're basically taking that one facet of what a goon is and that one particular type of goon and saying that's what a goon is, and that's just not accurate.
I mean, I definitely think it's a topic that, as I think about it, I might think of other angles on, you know what I mean? Because everywhere I looked here, goons were a little deeper than I thought they were until I ended up with this, you know. So maybe I had this kind of idea too when I started this. You know, this whole thing had its genesis in the goon with the fucking tire iron. You know what I mean? That low rung of goon. And that was really how I thought of goons before I did this. And I don't know. I have a little bit more respect for the goon now.